This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم الثاني من شهر ربيع الثاني 1446 الموافق ل الخامس من شهر أكتوبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah today we will be beginning with a new chapter which is about العقيقة. We are done with the أضحية. So now we move to العقيقة. والعقيقة هي الذبيحة التي تذبح للمولود. العقيقة is the animal that you slaughter when you have a newborn baby. وأصل العق الشق والقطع. So عق معناه الشق الشق والقطع. To cut off something. This is the original meaning of العق. An عقيقة is taken from it. وقيل للذبيحة عقيقة لأنه يشق حلقها. So ذبيحة, the animal that you slaughtered is called عقيقة because you cut the throat. Yeah. You get it? That's the مناسبة. The reason why it is called the origin of the meaning is العق والشق, الشق والقطع. ويقال عقيقة للشعر الذي يخرج على رأس المولود من بطن أمه. And sometimes also they call the hair that comes together with the child, the baby when he was born with the hair, that hair also they call it عقيقة. وجعله الزمخشري أصلا والشاة المذبوحة مشتقة منه. So the animals that is slaughtered for that sake, the name is taken from that original meaning. Get it? So we know what is عقيقة, right? قال عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عق عن الحسن والحسين كبشا كبشا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم slaughtered for الحسن and حسين كبشا كبشا. Each one of them كبش and كبش. كبش means a sheep, one sheep for each. قال وأخرج البيهقي والحاكم من حديث عائشة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ختن الحسن والحسين يوم السابع من ولادتهما. So وأخرج البيهقي من والحاكم وابن حبان من حديث عائشة بزيارة يوم السابع وسماهما وأمر أن يماط الرأسهما الأذى. عائشة رضي الله عنها narrated another hadith which add on top of what we learned from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he did that, the aqiqah, he did that on the seventh day وسماهما, and he gave them name on the seventh وأمر أن يماط الأذى عن رأسهما, and also he asked somebody to remove the أذى. Adha is referring to the hair, the hair that comes from the head. In another narration, Aisha said, "And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam khatan al Hasan wal Husayn yawm al sabi'." She said, "The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did khitan for al Hasan wal Husayn on the seventh of, the day number seven. He did the khitan for them. Khitan is circumcision." The seventh day. من ولادتهما, from the day they were born. وأخرج البيهقي أيضا in حديث جابر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, but this hadith is not that strong, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عق عن الحسن والحسين وختانهما لسبعة أيام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did عقيقة for الحسن والحسين, and also he did ختان on the seventh. When is seventh? If a person is born on Saturday, today. When is it going to be 7th?
Saturday, next Saturday.
Next Saturday, right?
Yeah,
that's number 8.
Right.
It should be Friday. You know, because they count Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, 7. You start counting from that. No, if he's born after Maghrib, then that's mean he's born on Sunday, Islamically. Right after Maghrib, that's mean he's born on Sunday. So the Aqiqah should be on Saturday. This is the day number 7. If you wait until Saturday, that's day number 8. You get it? Any part of the night will be counted as the next day. So this coming night tonight, whoever is born after Maghrib, then we say that he is born on the 3rd of Rabi' al-Thani, not 2nd. On the 4th of, 6th of October. وقال الحسن البصري إماطة الأذى حلق الرأس وصححه ابن السكن بأتم من هذا وفيه كان أهل الجاهلية يجعلون قطعة من دم العقيقة ويجعلونها على رأس المولود فأمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يجعلوا مكان الدم خلوقا. الحسن البصري said, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said إماطة الأذى, he removed the أذى from the hair. He's talking about the head. I'm sorry, the hair itself. So imatat al-adha from the head, meaning to remove the hair. You get it? So in the past, during the Jahiliyyah time, the people of Jahiliyyah, they used to take some part of the blood and put on the head. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather than doing this, he asked people to put perfume, not the blood of Aqiqah. Yeah, they have their own rituals and thinking. Yeah, you know, Jahiliyyah is Jahiliyyah. You know, Jahiliyyah is Jahiliyyah. قال وأخرج ابن حبان من حديث أنس نحوه وأخرج ابن حبان من حديث أنس نحوه والأحاديث دلت على مشروعية العقيقة واختلفت فيها مذاهب العلماء. So from this hadith we learn that it is part of our Sharia to do عقيقة. But is it wajib or is it not wajib? You have differences of opinion amongst the scholars. فعند الجمهور أنها سنة. The vast majority of the scholars believe that عقيقة سنة. It's not واجب. وذهب داود ومن تبعه إلى أنها واجبة. And you have داود. Who is داود? الظاهري. داود الظاهري. And whoever followed him amongst his students, they believe that عقيقة is واجبة. واستدل الجمهور بأن فعله صلى الله عليه وسلم دليل على السنية وبحديث من ولد له فأحب أن ينسك عن ولده فليفعل. They said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم his action confirms that aqiqah is sunnah. And also one of the evidences used by the majority of the scholars is the hadith which is collected by Imam Malik. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a new baby, فَأَحَبَّ أَنْ يَنْسُكَ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. If he wants to do aqiqah for his child, he should do. He said, if you want. That means it's not wajib, because wajib will not say if you want to do. وَاسْتَدَلَّتِ الظَّاهِرِيَّةُ بِمَا يَأْتِي مِنْ قَوْلِ عَائِشَةَ أَنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَمَرَهُمْ بِهَا وَالْأَمْرُ دَلِيلٌ إِيجَابٌ. Zahiriya said in the hadith of Aisha that will come later, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded them to do the udhiyah. And when he commands, his command is wajib. We have to follow his command. وأجاب الأولون بأنه صرفه عن الوجوب قوله فأحب أن ينسك عن ولده فليفعل. The majority of the scholars said, yes, we agree that the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his command necessitate wujub. But when he says فَأَحَبَّ أَنْ يَفْعَلْ, if somebody wants to do, so we understand that command is not meant for obligation. you see the way they are coming from, right? They agree that, yes, when the Prophet ﷺ commands somebody to do something, he has to do it. But since in another narration he says, فَأَحَبَّ, if he wants to do, then he should do. Then the majority of the scholars said, الْوَاجِبْ لَا يُعَلَّقْ عَلَى الْإِخْتِيَارِ. Wajib is not based on a choice. If you want to do, you do, then it is not wajib. Wajib should be, you have to do. But if the matter is up to you to do it or to stay away from it, then it is not wajib anymore. Clear, inshallah. قال وقوله في حديث عائشة يوم السابع دليل على أنه وقتها وسيأتي في حديث سمورة وأنه لا يشرع قبله ولا بعده. When she said يوم السابع, we learned from this that the time for the oath here is on the seventh day from the time he was, from the day he was born. Day number seven. You get it? And we will learn this inshallah in the hadith of Samura. وَأَنَهُ لَا يَشْرَعُ قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ. And it is not also part of our sharia for a person. It's not okay for a person to do it before or after. Yeah, she do it on the seventh. We will talk about that later inshallah. وقال النووي رحمه الله إنه يعق قبل السابع. Imam al-Nawawi says it's possible for a person to slaughter the oath here before the seventh. وكذا عن الكبير and the same goes to a big person who did not do the aqiqa before. His father told him that we did not do aqiqa for you. Can he do aqiqa for himself? He says also that one, he can do it even after that. The seventh. فقد أخرج البيهقي من حديث أنس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عق عن نفسه بعد البعثة. Yeah? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, according to this hadith, he did aqiqah for himself after Allah سبحانه وتعالى sent him. ولكنه قال منكر. But this hadith is munkar. Okay? Rejected hadith. It's weak. So we don't rely upon it. So we go with the asl. Yeah? Because the Arabs before, they used to do khitan actually. It wasn't because Islam came then they do the khitan. Well, they do khitan. That's why Hiraqal says, he saw in the dream, and the interpretation of his dream is that Malikul Khitani qad dhahar. The king of khitan, circumcision, meaning the king of those who circumcise themselves, already comes. You got it? So, and that's why he asked his batariqah, the scholars among the Christians, who is doing khitan, because he wants to get rid of him. He doesn't want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and take over his kingdom. So, those people, they told him, don't worry. The only one that does circumcision were the Jews. All that you have to do, yes, command all of your governors, you know, all of your governors and the people who work under you to kill any Jew they find in that place. And these criminals who are taking our place, they are supposed to be with the Christians. If you look at the history, who persecuted the Jew throughout this life? Wasn't the Muslims. Actually, they got good place with the Muslims. Yeah. But those who brought them to the place where they brought them, they already know who they are. Nobody wants to be closer to them. That's why they take them far away from them. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and guide them to Islam. So, قَالَ النَّوَوِي إِنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ بَاطِلٌ. So they used to do circumcision. You know, because when he says, when they told him, just check and kill anyone among them. But then it happens that something happens that Hiraqal asked his people to check the Arab that was there with them. And they found the one who came, either the one who came to pass the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Azim Basra to him, or whoever, but one of the Arabs. And they checked and they found him also muqtati. So they went to him and told him, no, the Arabs also does this. So then he understood that. Then what he called the danger might come from that side also. That was the reason why he cancelled that proposal of killing the Jews wherever they find. So I just want you to understand why this hadith is wrong, because it's not something that the Arabs are not doing, to say that when Islam comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, then he does the khitan. They will do it. The khitan. That's why even some narration says, wulida maqtuna. Because it's some narration, he came circumcised. Yeah. So that his aura will not be exposed to anyone. وقال النووي حديث باطل. Imam al-Nawawi says this is very باطل hadith. Hadith باطل. وقيل تجزئ في السابع الثاني والثالث كما أخرجه البيهقي عن عبد الله بن بريدة عن أبيه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الأقيقة تذبح لسبع ولأربع عشرة ولإحدى وعشرين. Some scholars said you can do it in the seven number two and seven number three also. So that means after 2 weeks and after 3 weeks. And then after that, you do it any time you want. So if you miss the first week, you go to the second week. If you miss the first week on the 7th, the second week on 14th, the third week on 21st. If you miss all of them, then you do it any time. No need to keep the calculation. Clear, inshallah. So because of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Ubaidah from his father, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-aqiqatu tuzbahu li sab'in wa li arba'ashar wa li ihda wa shirin." Exactly what we said just now. ودل الحديث على أنه يجزئ عن الغلام الشاة، لكن الحديث الآتي وهو قوله وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرهم أن يعق عن الغلام شاتان متكافئتان وعن الجارية شاة. It says the hadith indicated that it is okay for you to slaughter one sheep for a boy, baby boy. You get it? Only one sheep, not two. But there is another hadith which will come, which says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded them to slaughter for a male a born child two sheep. And for a female, one sheep. If you have baby boy, two sheep. A female, one sheep. What is the hikmah in doing this? What is the wisdom? Ibadah. The ta'abbud. Yeah, this is the biggest hikmah we have that goes with us in everything. Ta'abbud. What is the wisdom behind this? Ta'abbud. Ibadah lillahi azza wa jalla. Finished. Rather than going to different interpretation that might make some people upset. Yeah. Because some of those who lost their aql of our brothers and sisters today, when they hear this, they will say, "Yeah, this is the disrespect to the sisters. Why him got two and the sisters got one?" You know, these guys, you know, the liberalists, they will never let us relax. You know? They said even Islam oppressed, they said, Islam oppressed a woman, even in the language and in Tawheed also. Yeah, they said, yeah, leave them with it. But I'm just mentioning this to see how much lost these guys are. They said in Tawheed, why do you say La ilaha illa huwa? Why huwa?
This is for the unknown, we say huwa.
Yeah, but to them,
they want to say
Damir, why huwa only? Why huwa? And they said even in the language. Yeah, even in the language. If you say they're just looking for anything to show Islam, you know, as a very ugly religion towards the woman. They said in the language. If I ask Ihsan. Adam, ahuwa hayyun? What does that mean? Is he alive? Ahuwa hayyun? Hayat. ask about a woman, Karima, Hawa. Here, Hayatun. What is Hayya in Arabic? Snake. They said even the language oppressed them. For the brother, I say, Hawa Hayyun, means is he alive? But for the sister, Hayya Hayatun, Hayya.
I don't get it. We're just adding a
couple. Yeah, to people like me and you and everyone is okay, but those guys who just want anything
but
to criticize.
Yeah. They don't speak one word of Arabic.
Yeah, but just leave somebody who is looking for fault and mistakes, you know. Just get anything, whether it is wrong or right, they just bring it. Otherwise, that's what is called typical ignorant and blatant, you know, deficiency in the brain for somebody to think it this way. You get it? Yeah. This is just a language. Who would think like this before they exist? When Adam did something right, I said, innahu musibun. Musibun means? You got it right. If Hawa, and a sister, not Hawa, I mean, since your name is Adam, I just wrote Hawa anyhow. If Hawa is right, we say what?
Musiba.
What is Musiba? Calamity, right?
Oh.
They said even this one also. Why they choose calamity to you? Yeah, subhanAllah. Naib. La, naib.
Naib.
Yeah. Naiba. Naiba, if you go back to the root, it's also a kind of calamity and musiba. But who think in this way? Apart from them? Nobody. So that's why sometimes also we don't open doors for them. We just go with the hikam to be at ta'abbud al-mahd. It's an absolute act of worship. Allah SWT wants us to do it like this, we just do. We don't need to say anything other than this. Any sister who is within her consciousness, who has a small aql with her, she knows that nobody elevated her in ranking and saved her and protected her and stand for her more than Islam. None whatsoever. She leaves Islam one step, she's going to get into trouble and trapped by those criminals who are none other than wolves and foxes and all of those animals who... don't think of anything about her except evil. May Allah guide us to the truth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the male, you slaughter two sheep, and for the female, you slaughter one sheep. قال الشيطان متكافئتان متكافئتان أي متساويتان متقاربتان, meaning the one that are equal to each other. You buy one of them is very healthy. أهلاً وسهلاً بك. One of them is very healthy, you know, and big, and the other one is so tiny. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you buy the one that are almost equal in size and health and age, you know. قال عن الغلام شاتان متكافئتان والمراد بالتكافؤ في السن فلا يكون إحداهما مسنة والأخرى غير مسنة. So a person should try to get the same age when he buys the sheep for the udhiya. قال دل على أنه يعق عن الغلام بضعف ما يعق عن الجارية وإليه ذهب الشافعي وأبو ثور وأحمد وداود ولها آل هذا الحديث وذهبت الهادوية ومالك إلى أنه يجزئ عن الذكر والأنثى كل واحد منهما شاة للحديث الماضي. So you have some scholars, many scholars said two for the boy and two for one for the sister, for the girl. And you have such as Imam Malik and some other scholars who believe that one for each is okay. ووجيب بأن ذلك فعل وهذا قول وقول أقوى. The one that says we slaughter one sheep for each is what? فعل. فعل means action of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the one that says two sheep for a boy is qawl. Qawl al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Statement. So now you have what seems to be contradiction between qawl and fi'l, action and statement. Which one is more powerful?
Statement.
Why the statement is more powerful?
Because
Yeah, I know that. Don't you think that when he does, that's confirm what is supposed to be done?
What he does dictates the boundary of haram and halal. What he does is halal. Uh-huh. What he tells us to do is the sunnah, or what he wants us to do.
Yeah, what I'm saying, since he gave the command, you get it? And then we saw him doing something else. Don't you think that this is the best interpretation of what that command means? Right. I hope Yusuf get us correctly. So it is the basis of interpretation of what the command means, right?
Yeah.
Changing your mind?
No, I just can't think of a way to justify.
If he
commands something, and he does something that he prohibits, like for example, he says, do not do this. And then in another scenario, he did it. It means that prohibition is for karaha. It's not tahrim, but it's tanzih. Like for example.
But in this one, if I go to that one, Yusuf, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam command. Okay, he said slaughter two sheep. But then he slaughtered only one for his son. Can we understand from this that one is enough and two is just better?
Sheikh, I think this can also be said to be khususiyah. It could be something.
So now you're choosing which one? Adam's view then?
It could be that as well. So we have to look at what the Sahaba say.
Let's say we don't have any companions in this. What do you do?
It's Jawaz.
Jawaz. So two is? One is two is better and this one is? I know. This one can confirm the wujub. But then when we see him doing only one and he says do two, can we say that it's supposed to be wajib because of this and because of also the nature of the command, but when he slaughter one, that means that wujub is not intended. It's just mustahab. Anyway, usuliyun, they said when you have the ta'arud bain al-qawl wal-fa'il, yuqaddam al-qawl. Just what you said, Adam. We give the preference to the statement. When you have contradiction between, or what seems to be contradiction between qawl and fi'al, what we do is we favor the qawl. Qawl, why do we favor the qawl? Lihtimal al-khususiyya. You got it? Because it could be something that Allah SWT gave the Prophet ﷺ alone. You got it? خَالِسَةً لَكَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You cannot marry without mahar. Rasulullah ﷺ can do without mahar. That's only for him. So there are things which he might be the only one who Allah SWT gave permission to do. We are not included. So, but we are sure when he says do, that this is what he wants us to do. And this is what we are supposed to be doing. I'm sure about the command because he says do. But I'm not sure about the action. Does he want me to follow him or he doesn't want? You get it? If you tell your child, please do this, and then the child doesn't do that one, but he saw you doing something and he started doing what you were doing, what are you going to tell him? Did you do what I asked you to do? He will say, Dad, but I am busy doing this because I saw you doing that. Usually, a normal father will tell him, did I ask you to follow me or ask you to do that one? You get it? That's very normal. So that's why they say when there is contradiction between a statement and action, we favor the statement over the action. You get it? Okay, let me just land and then I come back to you, inshallah. So he says, وَوْجِيبُ بِأَنَّ هَذَا أَنَّ ذَلِكَ فِعْلٌ وَهَذَا قَوْلٌ وَالْقَوْلُ أَقْوَى. You get it? وَبِأَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ أَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ ذَبَحَ عَنِ الذَّكَرِ كَبْشًا لِبَيَانِ أَنَّهُ يُجْزِئُ وَذَبَحَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَذَبْحُ الْإِثْنَيْنِ مُسْتَحَبُ. This is what we said first. They said it could be possible that the Prophet ﷺ was just explaining indirectly that it is also halal for a person to slaughter only one for a baby boy. And doing two is mustahab. That one is halal, but you make it two, this is mustahab. Ala annahu akhraja Abu Shaykh. Hadith ibn Abbas min tariqi akhrima bilafzi kabshayn kabshayn. He says also, don't forget, there is another narration that which is authentic also from Al-Nasa'i also has it in his Sunan, وحديث صحيح كما قال هنا في الحاشية, that in another tariq, rather than kabsh kabsh, he said kabshayn kabshayn. You get it? That hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas says kabsh, one kabsh for each one of them. But then we have another narration, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, also the same, that says, Kabshain, Kabshain. So that means, the Ruwat have the doubt, right? So, the Ruwat of the hadith has the doubt. Either this one or this one of them has to be. Because how many Hassan and Hussein he has? Two. It is only one event for sure. We are not told that he slaughtered twice. He did it once. So either he did two, or he did one. Which one should be stronger? Two or one? Two. Ask me why. Because we have an external evidence that says he commanded people to do two. And the first person who is supposed to follow his command is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he told us to do two. And we saw in a narration that he did one. But then we saw another narration talking about the same event, said no, he did two. If we're looking for preference, we favor the two, one, because we have another external evidence that says he is commanding people to do two. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is supposed to be the first person who will do it, and then we imitate him in that. ومن حديث عمرو بن شعيب مثله. Another hadith also from عمرو بن شعيب, also two, not one. وحينئذ فلا تعارض. So if we take these two narrations, you know, against that single narration, then we say there is no contradiction actually. Because that one is his command that says do two, and this one is his action that says he did two. However, we have another narration which is also authentic from the same companion. He said no, he slaughtered only one. So we say that, yeah, most likely there is a doubt from the Ruwat al-Hadith, not from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Most probably Abdullah ibn Abbas said two, but one of them did not hear that. So when he narrated the Hadith from his tariq, he mentioned one rather than two. You get it? Are we getting it? Or I'm just talking to myself. Okay, alhamdulillah. So there's no contradiction. Yeah, the best opinion, inshallah, is the one that says if you have a child, a newborn baby, a boy, you have to slaughter two sheep. If we say it is mustahab, the aqiqah itself, we say it is mustahab, then it's mustahab to slaughter two. And it was mustahab to slaughter one for the girl. Can you do one for the girl? Can you do two for the girl? Yes, it's up to you, because he's going to have meat for the poor and needy people. It's fine.
The second sheep will not have the benefit.
The second sheep?
The second sheep you slaughter.
No, this... Okay, Adam, these type of things, the Prophet says, I have a child, I'm so happy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with. I slaughtered 10 sheep. I call them all aqiqah. What's wrong with that? If the Prophet said in hadith, La tazbahu akthar min ithnain, do not slaughter more than two, then we learn that it's going beyond two is innovation actually. But he says it is enough to slaughter two for the boy and one for the girl. That means I can go beyond. Just like the over here and the hadith. How much you need to do? One. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many he did? 100 couples. Yeah. He can go beyond that. But that was most likely the extent of his ability at that time. So I slaughtered 10 sheep. I give the meat in charity. And I call them all aqiqah. That's fine. You know. For the girl also, you want to appreciate. Yeah, it's good actually if somebody will do it, it's good. Yeah. Especially in the communities where people don't like girls. Yeah. It's good when you have a baby girl to slaughter 2-3 sheep. Don't say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded it to do. He did not say that. He said one is enough. Yeah. But to show the increase in your happiness with the blessings and the risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, you do everything possible to teach the community that there is no difference between a girl and a boy. And a girl might be beneficial, more beneficial than the boy. You don't know. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Aba'ukum. وَأَبْنَاءُكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا. How many people got a baby boy and they get into trouble? They never relax in their life. A lot. And the same goes to the girls. So yeah, people with girls, with billah. From both sides, you don't know. Yeah. Some, their main headache is the boy. He has girls, but they never cause him headache. But he always suffer from the boy. And some, they have boys and they are very humble. The girls, a'udhu billah. Yeah, so what must you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you? A good child. That's it. Boy, girl, doesn't matter. Good child. The one that you will be happy to be with them. The one that you, subhanAllah, whenever you sit with them, you will feel okay. You'll be proud of having people like them. That's it. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. قالوا في إطلاق لفظ الشاة دليل على أنه لا يشترط فيها ما يشترط في الأضحية ومن اشترط ذلك فبالقياس. You see, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said شاتم, you know, in أضحية لا تجزئ العوراء ولا الأرجاء ولا الخرقاء, you know, he mentioned series of animals that are not sufficient to be used in أضحية. Do we apply the same thing on the aqiqah? He said we're not supposed to do because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said shat. He did not mention any specification. He just said mutakafi atani, the one that are closer in terms of age. So he said we don't equate aqiqah with the udhiyah. He said whoever make them equal in terms of ahkam, he's doing that by qiyas. We know qiyas, right? He's just doing qiyas, an analogy. Right, Udhiyah looks like Aqiqah, looks like Udhiyah, therefore we should transfer the hukum of Udhiyah to Aqiqah. You get it? You know. Okay, so I guess this is the best place to stop for questions. I think we're heading towards 7. You know. I was planning to come early. Unfortunately, I have a guest that I got trapped outside. Otherwise, I was planning to finish this book today, the Aqiqah chapter. Qadar Allah. So next week, inshallah, we'll do it. Okay, let's move to questions.
When a child is born, mm-hmm. the doctors will offer to circumcise it in the same delivery room. So is it haram?
It's not, but miskeen.
How?
He just came to this life with all of these, miskeen, definitely miskeen.
It's more difficult when you're older.
No, but at that time, let him relax. Especially when he comes to the new environment. Life is a bit tough at that time. That's why Ibn Qayyim has a very nice and beautiful explanation. He says, he talks about those children who in the past, and now alhamdulillah, but in the past you have a lot of cases where a child, when he was born after the month number 8, they usually don't survive. Usually they don't survive. I think this is known to the sisters. And subhanAllah, is very amazing. Qudratullah Azza wa Jal. If the child comes after 6 months, can live. it's okay, fine. We'll live also with Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, because six months is a minimum. Yeah. Time, duration that a baby can spend in the womb and then comes out, okay. If it comes on month number 7, also okay. Month number 8, problem. Month number 9, fine. Number 10, fine. And there we go. So Ibn Qayyim, in one of his writings, was talking about the reason why the one that comes month number 7 usually doesn't live. Number 8, I'm sorry. He said because in month number 8, this is when the process and the preparation of coming out is taking place by the baby inside the womb. So he said, according to what he said it's a very tiring and heavy job for the kids inside. So a child need at least 2 weeks in the womb to rest after that long process, to have a complete rest first and then come out. If the child is to come out after having that heavy job and then faces the new environment also, you know, there in the womb, no food is needed. He's taking the best the mother is eating. You know, everything is being provided and highly protected. Life at ease. And now he's going to face a new environment. The air is coming, you know, and the father is jumping. People are screaming. This boy is like, what is it going on in this life? So, Adam, add to this. After that, the father comes and tell the doctor, circumcise him now. So Ibn Qayyim says, when he comes in that new environment, with this fatigue and weariness, he says most likely the child might not survive. The pain there, the exhaustion that he had, with the new environment that he has to relax and accommodate it first, he says that might be one of the reasons why children usually don't survive after that. So in our time we add, circumcise him after he came, immediately. To tell him that he's in the dunya now. No more free life, you know. You have to start with the suffering. Somebody asked me, can I use the hair clipper to shave his hair? I said, la hawla quwwata illa billah. And he just came and then you put that thing on his. So if he come in the month number 8, he will quickly go back, you know. Much easier for him then. So it's better to delay. Yeah, not to delay for so long. It's better to delay. I would choose for anyone to wait for the child to reach at least 1 year. 1 year, 2 years is good. The child is still young. Especially in a bit past. Nowadays, the children, when they reach 2 years, they learn a lot of things. Their feeling is very strong. But 2 years is still reasonable. It's okay. Yeah, because they don't have psychological pain. Because the issue is psychological pain. Yeah, a big person, when he has an injury, the healing process takes longer because of this psychological suffering. Kids don't have. That's why if a big person got the thing to be healed in 1 week, a child can get it maybe 1 or 2 days. Because they don't care. Yeah, so it helps the healing process easy. And plus also when you do it at that very early age, you might need to do it again. Especially when you don't get an expert. Because the skin grows, so it might come and cover the place and then he has to go through it. Also when he becomes matured. So it's better to wait until he has all the stretches. You know, 1 year is fine, 2 years is fine. But then let him reach 4 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, now he's okay, he knows what is that. He doesn't want his aura to be shown. So if you do the circumcision at that time, it might take longer time to heal. Yeah. I don't call it oppression, but I found it being unfair to the child. Let him relax, enjoy life first, and then tell him, life in this dunya is not always smooth. Come, let's go on. Yeah. It's too old. Most of the cultures they do khamsa sab'a sinin. Yeah, most of the cultures they do khamsa sab'a sinin. It's okay, fine for a person to do. It's okay.
A little brutal. No, say Alhamdulillah. In the past, actually, they don't have hospitals to do this. That's in the modern time. Usually, in the past, you know, a person will come when during the circumcision, they'll bring heavy, you know, like 5-6 people to come and yeah, they will come and hold him in the way he will not move. No, and this is not a child. He already reached 5, 6, 7, or even 10 years old. Yeah, for those who are late. Yeah. Of course, since they are going to cut him, he's not going to be patient. He will jump and fight the person who is doing. So they have to bring those guys to hold him properly in the way he can't do anything. So he has to go through all the pain. Literally. Yeah. So now you have the painkillers. The child doesn't even know what is going on, you know. You have those in some places also, they just put him unconscious. They finish whatever they are doing. Yeah, everywhere they have this option. Unconscious, state of unconsciousness. And then they...
In Africa, they actually tie the skin. They bring
something,
and they put the skin
tip and
like a nail to hold it, and they pull the child back. And then they...
God, this is talking on our behalf, you know.
I'm YouTube.
No, that's YouTube
problem. But it's like,
oh, I want it. No. Maybe some part of that, no. Some villages. No, that's not true. They just bring an expert to those people who are doing the shaving. Usually they have the barber, who was expert in shaving the hair and cupping. These are the one who does it, you know, back there. So they just bring a person and ask people to hold him, and they cut, just like what they do in the hospitals. But the only difference is, you have to go through all the pain. Yeah, because they don't have painkillers in those days. Yeah. You get it? They have to give wine. Yeah, but we know wine is prohibited, so nobody does that. But in the past, when they do the surgery, they give wine.
To kids checked?
Yeah. No, they give wine to whoever they want to cut some part of him. They have to give him wine. Because they don't have any alternative. How can they cut his leg and he's just watching them? And they have to remove the leg. Otherwise, the illness will keep moving, increasing. So they have to remove that part of the sickness. So in the past, they don't have anything, they will remove the... They would give him wine. I think Urwa ibn Zubayr, if I'm not mistaken, you know, when the Aqila, what is Aqila in English?
Aqila, rationality.
Not Aqila. It's kind of infection when you get it. Usually it keeps increasing.
Necrosis.
Yeah, necrosis. Okay. So that's one. He got it after he lost his, I think, how many kids? 3 kids. So he lost a family member, his children, went to the graveyard and he got this. Yeah. He said, I have 4 kids, ya Allah, you have taken one, and I have 4 limbs, and you have taken one. Alhamdulillah. Any righteous person. So when he perceived that, and he got it in the maqbara. So when he perceived that, he went to the doctor. The doctor told him, we have to remove your leg, otherwise it will keep increasing. So he said, no problem, and do the necessary. And SubhanAllah, they told him, we have to give you wine. He said, I never drank wine in my life, and I would not do. They said, Sheikh, we cannot do it while you are just watching us. He said, okay, either do it or not, but I will not drink wine. So he told them, usually I focus in my prayer. When I pray, come and cut. They cut, he said, yes. And SubhanAllah, this is one of our scholars said, if not because of the isnad that is authentic, these type of things, you will never believe in them. But authentic narration of that story that it happens, he was praying, they cut off his leg. And he doesn't feel. Even Allah Qudrasullah has ordered, you don't know why, what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own way. In Medina, when I went, I was sick one day. And that's why I always say that we don't need doctors. We need different types of doctors. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Because many of our problems are psychological problems. A person goes to the hospital, the doctor knows that the real problem is not this. You need a religious person to keep him seated and advise him wisely. No medicine. Tell him, go drink a lot of water and relax. Come back after 2 weeks. He will come back with some gift. Thank you very much. The sickness is gone. Well, I still remember this person. All that I remember up to date, this guy, when he was giving me injection, he said, Bismillah. Up to date, I never remember that I feel something when he was putting. It was so strange. Never be in a place where a medical doctor came to inject you and say, Bismillah. But this man, subhanAllah, is going to give me an injection in Islamic University of Medina. He says, Bismillah. And I cannot forget that. Up to date. Well, all that I remember, it was painless injection. Yes, Rabbul Alameen. His name when it is mentioned. So that person was making the dhikr, they cut off his leg and he did not feel it. Iman. Different from us. And alhamdulillah, in our time also we still have rijal. Yeah, but those are rijal. They are always hidden. And it's better for them to remain hidden. We have rijal. Very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us amongst them. So they used to give wine to help a person to sustain the pain. You know, they used to give wine also when you have bone gust stuck on your throat. So they give a person wine. You can see how much bad is wine and strong it is. That was the only substance they have to give him a drink wine, and then the bone will go down. In our time, we don't need to go for this because they have this minor surgery. They just go and remove it. Alhamdulillah. Ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us good.
So is it the best opinion that in Aqiqah and Qumiyah, the hukum of the impermissible types of animals is not the same, it's only qiyas? What is the best way to go about it? Follow the same.
To get the best. That's the safest opinion. You know, the best opinion is to be on the safe side. Get a sheep that fulfill all the conditions of the other here. And do it. That's safer. Since there are some scholars who said they are equal, stay away from the khilaf. Why do I need to do something which is doubtful by some scholars? Some scholars will see it as a doubtful thing. But if a person slaughters a sheep, you know, based on that first opinion, then you can say it's okay, sheep that has some deficiency in it. But I would never advise a person to do it. Yeah. Unless if this is the only thing he can afford. Rather than not doing, do with this.
Al-Hanabila, they say that when someone gets something stuck in the neck, in the throat, we give him urine before liquor, before wine.
If the urine can work.
Why do we put it before wine?
I know, because they might see it less harmful. I don't know what is their justification of those Hanabila that says this. Because it's najis and it's harmful to the human being, unless if a person needs it. You get it? They might see it as less harmful than this. It doesn't take the aql. Do you get it? It can harm the person if he doesn't need it. Yeah. But if it is going to work, you get it? If it is going to work, because this one will go with the aql of a person. That's really dangerous. You have to keep it in a place first to recover. The urine guy might give some anti-poison, you know, to remove. His aql is still there. You know. And usually if there is a darura, these things don't affect the person. That's why Majnoon takes rotten things, and you see them, mashallah, with muscles. You know, the insane people, you see, they eat anything. But how do you see him? Well built up, you know. If you try to do what they do, maybe that's the end of your life. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him respite, protecting him because of no aql. It doesn't have aql. So when you are in a state of darura, usually the negative effect of something is being removed, so that you can make use of it and survive. But right after it, you're out of the darura, it goes back again. Here, one of our contemporary scholars, he said, when they put them in jail, and they don't give them enough food, so they have oranges. He said they used to cut oranges and eat with the skin. And it was so sweet. Very sweet. The day he went out of jail, one day he was with his mother or grandmother, you know, they were eating oranges. And then he told them, "You guys are wasting oranges." They were peeling the oranges, you know. He told them, "You're wasting orange." They said, "What do you mean?" They thought maybe being in jail, you know, caused him to lose his akali. Because in jail, Allah protect us, you know. See, description of that kind of life, oh, a'udhu billah. Yeah. So one of them was in jail because of the pressure. It's like he's not in dunya. He says, "Kharajna min ad-dunya wa nahnu min ahliha. Falasna min al-amwat fiha wa al-ahya. Idha ja'ana as-sajjanu yawman bihajatin, ajibna wa qulna ja'a hadha min ad-dunya." He says, we left dunya and we are still people of the dunya. He's describing the jail they put them. He says, we are people of dunya, still in the dunya, but we left the dunya. When the Sajjan, those security, came to us, he said, we used to be amazed of somebody from the dunya is visiting us. So she thought maybe something happens to him because of the jail. So he said, no, we used to eat it in jail and there is nothing. It was so sweet. She said, son, take. No wasting time. Subhanallah, with all the confidence, cut. He forgot he's not in jail anymore. He put it in his mouth, he couldn't chew it. He threw it away. Yeah, that was something given to them because they were in need. Yeah. These type of things exist. It doesn't only exist in the past, up to date. When somebody is pressured for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, found himself in these circumstances, he will get support, subhanAllah, in a very amazing way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have heard a lot of stories which to the narrators are a fact of things like this taking place with some people. It's all about Iman. Allah grant us good. Ya Yusuf, so if it is confirmed that it works, then the person will go with it. Yeah, because they use wine, I think, because it's so powerful, so strong. Yeah. Allah grant us good. Yes, sir.
Sorry, I have a question. So in the past, they used alcohol to make a person drunk so they could operate on him.
Yeah, no.
Would he have to make up his salah with qada prayers?
And he has to, whatever prayer he did not do, he has to pray again, right after that. Oh, that's the only question. Yusuf, I'm already done with you. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.